Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle A.
I wondered, what possessed Peter to want to step in onto the sea? Is he crazy? His being bold and brash explains only part of it. You got to keep in mind, in the ancient world, people believed that spirits controlled most aspects of life, causing havoc and mayhem and storms. People's only protection was appeal to someone greater, God himself. Or for Peter, Jesus, his agent. You could say that Peter wanted to confront the storm and its spirit with Jesus and be at his side. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. It's really an appeal and an act of trust. But in the face of the storm's fury, he wavers. Our translation says he noticed strong winds. Well, not so. It reads, he sees the strong wind. This is all about the idea of seeing a ghost. He, if you will, sees the havoc-making spirit, and in fear his trust falters, and he sinks. Lord, save me! And so Jesus scolds him, you of little faith, why'd you doubt? Haven't we, though, in our own personal stormy moments? Are you there for me, God? Can you imagine the relief when the wind stopped? Can you imagine the tension giving way to tension-releasing humor once they were on shore? Can't help but think that the other apostles recounted the look on Simon's face as he sank. Or their glee when Jesus created a nickname for him. Cephas in Aramaic, Petros in Greek, Peter the Rock. No wonder his nickname stuck. It suited him to a T. Who says Jesus doesn't have a sense of humor? I wonder if Jesus named him Rock for his sinking rather than his firmness. Matthew says that Jesus named him Rock because he would be a rock of faith to strengthen his brothers and sisters. But today's gospel proves how little faith he had, how dense he could be, how fearful he would become, and how very quickly he sank. You gotta love Peter, though. He is so delightfully human. He's so very sure of himself, so enthusiastic, yet an instant later cries out, Lord, save me. I don't know about you, but I've known that kind of sinking fear, clutching madly for a friendly hand, any hand. Jesus is there to grasp me, but sometimes I push his hand away because it's not the solution I want. I push his hand away because he's asking me to trust him, and I'm afraid I'm going to sink. I want a Messiah of power who zaps the problem away. Elijah certainly wanted that kind of God. He was afraid for his life. King Ahab's wife, Queen Jezebel, had put a contract on his head. And so God sends an angel first to feed him and then send him to the mountain of God for a little remedial education. So we're listening in on his class. where God shows what he's really like. A strong, heavy wind was rending the mountains and crushing rocks. The Lord was not in the wind. There was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. There was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after that fire, a whispering sound, a still small voice, or as in our translation, the sound of silence. And when he heard this, Elisha hid his face in his cloak. Which God do you prefer? I prefer the God of the show, the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. But in a tiny whispering sound, a still small voice, what kind of God is this? At least with a God of power, I'd have no choice and I'd take no responsibility. Don't you see? God wants to invite Elijah into trust, into the unknown. Don't ask me to step out in that storm. Don't give me a God who asks me to be courageous. So what's the point in Matthew telling the story? You see, Matthew sees his people and Simon Peter and the other apostles. They understand, but not quite. They believe, but with little faith. In a strange sentence at the end of the gospel, Matthew will describe Jesus' appearing to his disciples before his ascension. He appears and they say, they worship, but they doubted. They worship, but they doubted? Sounds crazy. Some translations skirt the Greek by having it read, some doubted. Not so. No way. It sounds puzzling until you remember that faith is more than believing, it is trusting. It is the difference in a man saying, I believe my wife loves me, and I trust my wife's love. So much more. It's the difference between, I believe there's a God, and I trust my life to God's love. Very different. You know, it's like the story, I think you've all heard it, I'm sure, of a man walking in the mountains. And when he stepped too close to the edge, he slipped and started to fall down. And reaching out, he grabbed a limb of a tree and hung suspended over the chasm. He does what any red-blooded American would do. He starts screaming, help, help! Finally hears a voice from above, I'm here. Who is it? The Lord. Can you help me? Of course. Don't you trust me? He answers, sure. Then the Lord says, just let go. What? Just let go. I'll catch you. A moment later, the man shouts, is there anybody else up there? In that moment of Peter's sinking, he was not questioning, is this Jesus really the Messiah, the Son of God? Rather, he discovered that trust is more than belief. What's the point? Matthew was really addressing this story, Jesus' words, to his own fearful community who were facing the storms of opposition by both Jews and Gentiles. Matthew's church saw themselves, felt themselves in that storm-tossed boat. They believed, but They hadn't really yet developed a habit of trust that risked everything on the Lord. Soren Kierkegaard wrote, "To dare is to lose one's footing for a moment. Not to dare is to lose oneself." The one thing you can say about Peter, he at least dared. And the Lord caught him. His continuing misadventures and his continual returning back to the Lord again and again meant he would return after he even denied Jesus 3 times. He developed a habit of trusting the return. He was growing in a habit of trust. Question is, what is God daring you to do? What stormy spirit are you being asked to confront with your faith and trust? Some of you are already answering the call. I could name names and give events. You inspire me. Some of us imagine what we would do, but that's only dreaming. Yet each one of us is gifted for action. Everyone is gifted for action, for being fruitful. You have God-given resources. A stewardship spirituality asks, do you accept those gifts gratefully, develop them responsibly, share them lovingly? For we will all have to return to the Lord with increase. I want to suggest to you that Catholicism is not a spectator sport. Within any parish, any Newman Center, we need individuals who dream together, pray together, and then act together. Or as the D School teaches, empathize, define, iterate, prototype, and test. You put it into action. One of the Dominicans was always fond of saying, get on with it. Get on with it, I say. It might be for the poor or the undocumented. It might be organizing events about immigration, or for the planet, or for the protection of life. It might be promoting an ethnic group or confronting our culture of hate. Poor Charlottesville. It might be leading small faith sharing groups that ask, Lord, what do you want us to do? The list of possibilities is endless for implementing the gospel. And for God's sake, don't wait for the clergy. What percentage of the Catholic Church are clergy? Anyone? Two 2%? 1%? 0.03%. 0.03%. Dudes, we need you all to step up and step out into the stormy waters, knowing that Jesus still says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the 3rd floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.